This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
Not everyone's journey to motherhood is smooth. Babies are not always planned or even necessarily wanted. Families and partners are not always what you need them to be, and for whatever reason, many women in Australia find themselves without the support they desperately need to become mothers. The Babes Project was created by a woman who also experienced an unexpected journey into motherhood, and she wanted to support pregnant women whatever their circumstances.
We often say it takes a village to raise a child, and that's absolutely what we see here at the Babes Project, that women do need support, and so that's what most of them seek out from the Babes Project.
The Babes Project is well established, and its aim is to help women in their journey to becoming mothers. In their positioning statement, they say, "We will encourage women on their journey, no matter what the circumstances." Well, 2020 has certainly given us all circumstances. And Helen Parker is the CEO and founder of the Babes Project. Helen, I think we last spoke about the Babes Project a few years ago.
So the Babes Project, I think I last spoke to you in May 2017, and we talked about the Babes Project being a not-for-profit organisation who supports women in the perinatal period, and we still do that. We still work with women anytime from conception until baby's first birthday. We work with women who are particularly vulnerable. We say crisis pregnancy. It's really just anything that she finds is causing a crisis around her pregnancy. So whether she's struggling with housing or finances or an unplanned pregnancy or domestic violence or just at risk of postnatal depression or has history with drug and alcohol use or mental illness. It's quite a range, and we work with them to alleviate some of those crises and to educate them about pregnancy and parenting and how they can actually increase their parenting capabilities even when facing challenges. So that's what we do in a nutshell, and we do that all over Australia.
If you had a common denominator for the women that are on your project, some are quite young, some obviously are dealing with some life crises, but very frequently they find themselves quite alone.
That's right. Yeah. So when we look at our statistics, I think there's something like it's high 80, low 90% of women who seek support through us are feeling like they don't have enough support around them. So whether that's complete social isolation, whether they're living in a remote area, whether they don't have family, but yeah, whether they're estranged from family or whether they're in another country, it is a common denominator. And I think that's why we feel that our support is so vital, because, you know, when you're experiencing pregnancy and parenting, especially if it's your first time experiencing that, you need people around you. We often say it's a village, that it takes a village to raise a child, and that's absolutely what we see here at the Babes Project, that women do need support, and so that's what most of them seek out from the Babes Project.
And a lot of that has been marvellously practical. But with COVID-19, how has the Babes Project had to pivot and change what you do?
Yeah, so we have one centre in Cairns in Queensland, two centres here in Victoria, plus our headquarters. And then we have a national program. And that national program we launched in 2018 because we were getting women coming to us who said, "I'm not near one of your centres, but I need support." And it was breaking our hearts to turn them away. So we developed this program, which was very similar to what we do in the centres, but it's delivered remotely. So it's delivered over phone and teleconference with our midwife, one of our midwives. And so what happened when COVID hit was we had this beautiful resource, our remote program, to use, and we were able to pivot very quickly and move all of our women in Cairns and both centres at Victoria into that remote program. The thing that was probably the most challenging were, there were two parts of that. One was who was going to deliver it, because a lot of our team are volunteers and mums, so they suddenly had children at home. So our team decreased. And then the other part of that was we had so many women in our program that really wanted social connection. Their babies had already been born and they were coming for that group work, and so some of them did graduate early because we couldn't do any group work. So there were challenges, but we were able to do something, and it ended up being quite positive.
We spoke just recently to the Panda organisation, and they were telling us it's the loss of that face-to-face contact they believe has been the biggest loss for their new mothers, especially those experiencing some mental health difficulties. And that's a big part of your face-to-face programs. Were things like that, getting together for a group meal and you're meeting other mothers that are in a similar situation?
We love our remote program, but we always say it's not our ideal. You know, if we could be there for every woman face-to-face, that's what we would choose. We know that women, it helps create a safe environment for women when they can sit with you and they can feel safe with you. So it actually does take a lot more to create that trust where she can share some of those tougher moments and be vulnerable with us. And then, as you said, the group work, when we have women in a room together, the most amazing thing is that they don't feel so isolated and like it's only happening to them. They also have the opportunity, like we all do, to learn off each other. We all do it. We love our mums groups and we love connecting with other women who are going through similar things to ourselves. That was exactly the same for them. When they're in group sessions, not only do they have that social aspect, but they sort of come alongside each other and they support each other. And there's this new community that is so vital for our mums. And yeah, so that was one of the biggest challenges for us. And really we just kind of kept saying to them, hold on. We will reconnect you. Unfortunately, here in Melbourne, it has gone a lot longer. But we definitely were saying to them, it's not all lost. You're still safe. You're still able to get some support, and we will reinstate some of that group work soon and potentially even extend how long they can be in the program for because of COVID.
How have you managed to wrap your arms around these little isolated mums that you want to bring into a group during this situation?
Oh, we've had to think really creatively. Some of our program looks at developing your values as a family, self-care, thinking about how you want to be a proactive parent. And so what we did, we actually had those printed into these beautiful journals. And on Mother's Day in May this year, when we were just in the initial restrictions, but we were still able to drive around here in Melbourne, we actually delivered just before Mother's Day, we actually delivered these journals to our women with cookies and balloons to celebrate them. And if they were remote, like further away, we did mail those to them. So it started there as a gesture to say, we're still here. We haven't forgotten you. We're going to go out of our way to ensure you still feel supported. And from there, we were just able to use that journal to do appointments with them because it's interactive and it is part of our program. We were also able to drop off some of their essential items and tools that we use, or resources that we use in the program. So if they were going into hospital to have their baby, we would make sure they had their hospital bag on time. We gave them that. We teach them about hospital using those resources. We were able to drop things off. We were able to make sure they were okay. The hard thing for us was some of them birthing alone. I think that was the hard thing for everyone because there were a few stories like that. And really, we just kept reaching out. Are you okay? How are you going? Social media to connect with them a lot. We had surveys to ask them how they were going, and they contributed to a little bit of a social media campaign where we were just telling their stories. So we were able to stay connected. And what was beautiful was they connected to us. So they probably made more of an effort to connect with us than ever before because they were at home. They could do it. When we reached out to them, they actually came back to us pretty frequently. And so that was really lovely. So it wasn't all negative. There were some beautiful positives, but we had like 30 babies born and we hadn't met them until we're starting to meet them now. So that was probably the hardest bit.
That is going to be something that's lovely to look forward to. And Helen, you picked up a really interesting demographic as well, like a group of women that you possibly wouldn't have necessarily connected with, but a lot of young women who were very far from home, stuck in Melbourne, but about to give birth.
Yeah, actually, I think the first time we realised something was happening was when we got an email referral from an embassy. It was actually in Canberra, and they had met a South American woman and she was stuck here. She wasn't able to afford, flights were expensive because they were so few and far between. She couldn't get home. And they were reaching out for support. And we sort of thought, oh, okay, this is interesting. This is pretty early on. And then we just got a little influx. We've got a group of Chilean mums who some of them had been here and planned to be here longer to have their babies, but some had not. And then we saw, you know, there were a couple of others. There was an Indian mum, a Pakistani mum, a USA mum. So the American mums actually planning to go home very soon. And so we had this little group of women that actually never planned to be here or didn't plan to be here this long. And so not only are they stuck and unsure about how to access healthcare, they can't afford it. They don't have Medicare here. They have no support here. And so we, yeah, started to advocate for them and support them as much as possible. Some of our team would just go and drop beautiful baby items that were so necessary to them, but they had nothing. and some of them didn't even have the basics because they were holidaying. Yeah, we were able to really connect with them, help them, I guess, navigate the health system, especially booking into hospital. And we've actually got quite a few South American babies now that we wouldn't have ever met if it wasn't for COVID. So though it was very challenging for them, it's been beautiful to see them.
How do you get around that? Not having Medicare is one thing, but if you're having a baby, what does the Australian government expect? You just have it at home or in a park bench?
Well, there are different things that can happen with visas, and I didn't work with them myself, so I don't know the details of all the individual women, but with visas and insurance, some things are covered. So they might have the birth covered, but then potentially the hospital stay isn't covered. All the situations were very different. I don't know all the detail of them. But sometimes if they have insurance, they might be able to access the birth to be covered, but not the hospital stay. There was also the opportunity for some of them to have funds sent from family, and people got around it. But what we saw was this disconnection between, you know, what the government expects and what's actually happening. So when an embassy actually contacts you and says they have no support here and don't have any Medicare, you know, then you start to realise, oh, okay, this is really tough, and how are we going to help her navigate that? I don't know, really. I can't say what the government expects, but we had the opportunity to understand that there were so many women that were just really abandoned. And so we did our best and are still doing our best to support those women.
This year was supposed to be a big fundraiser year for you guys at the Babes Project. I mean, how has that gone?
Yeah, at the start of the year, we'd had a few changes in our funding. So that was really interesting for us. So we thought we would launch this Million for Mums campaign, where we sort of went over and above to share the vision of the Babes Project and cover it for a couple of years, where we could really work on our program and expanding our program. But when COVID hit, it just became really unsettling for the whole community, and funds just stopped coming in, and fundraising events obviously were put on hold. We opened Cairns last year, our third centre, and never expected that we couldn't fundraise for it. So we've been using funds that we've got in the bank to cover that extra centre, and that's been really tough. We've got staff, we've got three centres. We have to pay basic costs of our programs and work with over 100 women. without fundraising, we've had to get creative, and that's been really interesting. And we've just relaunched Million for Mums because we feel that it's more the right timing now. People sort of are doing better, I guess. They're still cautious, but yeah, we're trying to relaunch that and focus on recovering over the next year or so.
Have you had been contacted by more women that are in a precarious situation during COVID-19, or have the numbers gone down a little?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We absolutely have been contacted by more. Our numbers will look lower, and that's just because when it first hit and we moved all our women to remote, we stopped referrals for a couple of months while we got into a stable position in terms of how we were managing all our women. And so we did stop referrals. And once we opened them again, it was like the floodgates opened. And I remember Emma, who looks after that part of what we do, just emailing and saying, here we go. And wow, like we just were so confronted because women were emailing us themselves saying, I'm alone and I'm scared and I need help. And we just really saw the isolation, obviously, just increased so much because were they already facing challenges, but, you know, you put this, I guess, state-mandated isolation on people as well who are already struggling, and it's just extremely confronting. Women who potentially wouldn't have needed as much support now were crying out. They were desperate. They were like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what this is going to mean for me. I don't know what this is going to mean for my family. How am I going to fund this? I've lost my job. Quite a few women lost their jobs. One of the things we do is, you know, if she's pregnant, we say congratulations, because so many women don't hear that, and they're so worried and they're so anxious about how to move forward, even though they want to. And so we just try and do it step by step with them. But definitely an increase in social isolation, in numbers, it's just quite confronting, really.
How have you helped women cope under these circumstances? Is there a mantra or a really good piece of advice? Because not to the same degree ever, but all of us have had to at some point examine how we're going to put the next foot forward.
We definitely reached out to check in on our mums a lot more. And one of the main things we said to them was we encourage them to reach out. So please, please reach out. If you need anything, please reach out to talk to either us or other people that you might have in your life. Please look after yourself. It's okay to not be okay. And I think that was a good message that definitely was very prominent on social media this year, the Are You Okay Day. We definitely used that to give women the opportunity to speak up. You don't have to be the perfect mum. You don't have to be perfect every day. You don't have to feel great all the time. This is a challenging time, so you need to speak up. And that's okay. And so then we worked on just creating a safe space for her to reach out and say, I'm not doing okay. And then we can help her work through that. And that was very, very real. The amount of women who said, I'm not okay, and whether they got extra appointments or just looking at different parts of our program that were more helpful for them, advocating for them, that was really essential, that they really knew we were there for them, because mums raising children in this pandemic is really challenging, and so we want to make sure they're okay. In this time, we definitely need to support some of our most vulnerable, and let's not forget these beautiful mums who are having babies, and if we can do our bit to support them in our communities, I think that we as a community will be in a better place. And it's also the most rewarding thing when you're helping a young family get on its feet, especially after the year we've had. I'd just encourage everyone to reach out to the young families in their communities and check in on them. Are they okay, and how can they support them?
Helen Parker, founder of the Babes Project. And the Babes Project is running a major fundraiser that they had to step away from earlier in this year. So if you're able to help them, there is going to be a link on the Baby Talk website, which you can find by searching Baby Talk one word. I think the Babes Project does some seriously amazing work, and it's good to hear how they were still able to support their women during the COVID-19 lockdown. We know there's a lot to discover about having a new baby, and I hope we've got a lot of it covered in the podcasts that Baby Talk's been producing over the last few years. And there are now hundreds online on the Baby Talk website. Baby Talk is part of the ABC website, and you can find it by searching Baby Talk, one word, in your search engine. If it's looking a bit obscure, just chuck ABC in there as well. The Baby Talk podcasts are on iTunes and on the ABC's own Listen app. Last week's podcast was all about Christmas and taking the baby along to all the entertainments and family functions that can be so completely fraught.
People are going to talk loudly. People will accidentally go into the room and wake the baby up. I could go on for hours as to what goes wrong. Try and resettle as much as you can, but, you know, just give in. If the baby is that upset at any point during the day, you know, you can always go home if you really need to.
I hope you are enjoying the holiday season in Australia. I'm Penny Johnston. I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.